I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Sometimes it's good to just yell about football. What are you doing? Don't do this to me, Harry! The Ohio State. It's Ohio State! What do you mean, the? It's a poison. I almost stroked out and died over it. I'm glad to be at the party. I'm mad we're this late. You ain't a captain of nothing but a sinking ship. That helps the defense without them even doing a damn thing. Doing a damn thing. Get a call in line. 312-988-15. You tell Johnny all you've heard and seen. Welcome in, welcome back, folks, to it's gonna be such a long time till football again. It's going to be such a long time till football. I'm really not looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to talking to you fine people multiple times a week. I ain't looking forward to this summer. I'm just not. I'm already in a bad spot. I'm already upset. I don't like it. My summer's already ruined due to baseball. I got nothing. Is it August yet? I'm really struggling with, usually baseball is my little escape. I don't have that. I can't turn it on. It's, oh boy, it's going to be a long one. Welcome in. Welcome back. We got a few things to go over today. Blue and gold. The phone lines were being goofy, whatever. Blue and gold reactions. I haven't been able to get them from everybody, whatever. Call with that. What comes next for Notre Dame? Not in the season, between now and August. I want to know, Jerry Reinsdorf's burner. I know you aren't watching, but we had an absolutely brutal loss. I know what happened. I'm familiar with the situation, okay? Wow. All right. Anyways, so I want to know, blue and gold, what's coming next for Notre Dame? What your priorities are for Notre Dame between now and August? When we revisit football, also, I'm taking some heat again, and I knew I would for the Patreon that I dropped. I knew I was going to take some heat. Here, I'll just present this to the class. You could type it in, you could call in, whatever. CFP or bust. Jay Carr, nothing gets by you. CFP or bust. I've heard it all over Notre Dame land this year. Marcus Freeman, year three, all the pressure, expanded playoff, all that. Okay. Samson wrote an article, CFP or bust for Marcus Freeman in Notre Dame. I fully 100% agree with the seriousness of this year. Fully. I 100% totally, it is not lost on me. The situation we're in and the history it's backed up against and the new history being made with the playoff and the year three and the everything. And we like this roster better than, the last couple, whatever. All of that's true. CFP or bust? What's the bust? That's my question. Feel free to type it in, call in, whatever. That's all I'm asking. If you're saying CFP or bust, for Notre Dame this year, what does the bust mean practically? When people, it's really easy to say, oh, CFP or bust, whatever, and it looks good on an article title or on my YouTube video and it gets people to click. What are the practical consequences of the bust? Is it he's fired? Is it he's not getting the extension they're allegedly talking about behind the scenes? Is it nothing changes at all, but everybody's mad at me And then everybody comes here and says, I'm an idiot for supporting the guy. Like what? It's easy to say CFP or bust. I want to know practically what the bust means. And that's kind of where I'm taking some shade here. And it comes off that I'm soft on Freeman. It comes off that I'm protecting Freeman and whatever. I'm just, you know me, I poke at things. I want to know the why. I want to know the what in it. If you want to say CFP or bust, I want to know what the bust is. If it's simply everybody here's mad and then we re-rack it and they say, try again next year. Fine. I just want to know what it means, the bust. He's on a 6-year initial deal, I believe. They're not firing him if they don't make the playoffs. And you may not agree with that. You may say it's Notre Dame, not a place to learn on the job, and it doesn't matter any of that. I don't care about any. This is Notre Dame, the standard, it never changed. Okay. But you know, my argument is everybody's saying I have a double standard with Freeman now. I'm saying you all had a double standard kissing up to Kelly. I agree with you. There's been a double standard started by the way this fan base treated Brian Kelly. Like a king for the Camping World Bowl trophy after over a decade. So whatever, you can call me, talk about whatever you want to do. Now I do have to make an unfortunate announcement. I can only go an hour today. So if you want to call, give me a call early. I have a Zoom at 10 o'clock with something connected to Blue and Gold Weekend in Notre Dame. We're making connections. We're making moves, people. Mike's make it. It's a beautiful thing. Mike goes, he makes a bunch of connections and a bunch of moves. I go, I make a bunch of connections, a bunch of moves. And now we're starting to put them all together. This thing's growing. We got a little momentum. Let's ride it after Blue and Gold. So I'm going to have to get off here a little early today, before 10 o'clock, set up for that Zoom, see if we could get some business done on behalf of Always Irish and the Patreon as well. So, all right, that being said, dude, Commander, you have no idea, man. Here's John's Kelly excuse, which nobody was kissing BK's ass. Bro, you should see my mentions. You should see the YouTube comments. You should see the emails I received every time I did a video saying this isn't good enough and we're just doing whatever we want to do. Dr. John, I can bring you up right now if you want to go first. Hold on. There you go, Dr. John. We'll get you in.
Well, good morning, Bio. You know, it's so nice to see you with such a positive role. It must be a carryover from the bleeding and deadly crack that you had at the tailgate. It was jammers, I see, and there were no paralytic G-bags there. Connor behaved himself, and I'm just slagging you a bit here. This was supposed to be for Manny because in his chat on Monday, he seemed fetched by the brogue. Anyway, enough of that crap.
Dr. John, we had a great time, man. People were asking about you. People missed you. We had a really good group, and we had a ton of fun, man. We had a really good weekend.
Well, tell you what my disappointment was, and it had nothing to do with the game. It had to do with the tailgate. First of all, were you where you said you were going to be, near Leahy?
I certainly was, right out front, line right up with them.
You were supposed to have a special guest stop by.
Who is that?
And he never did.
Who, the ghost of Frank Leahy himself?
No, it was supposed to be Pete Bavacqua.
I think he was busy. He was too busy unveiling the new $150 million football stadium or football facility.
Well, I wish he had told me that, because he said he was going to make it a point to stop by your tailgate.
Yeah, sure he did. You know,
hey now, John, listen to me.
Come on.
I wrote him a letter.
Oh boy.
Snail mail.
Old school.
And I started it. Well, I couldn't find anything else for him. So anyway, I started the letter with, I said, this may be the most ridiculous letter and request you're ever going to get as athletic director. Then I laid it out about what you do. And I mentioned a little bit about the Swarbrick basement thing. But anyway, I got an email back from him. Turned out he and I lived in the same dorm, a few generations apart.
Wait, but, so you're not kidding? Is this all a bit? John, is this all a bit?
No,
or did you really correspond with
Johnny,
him? Come on.
John, I'm going to email you a copy of my letter and his response.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I expected something happening Monday on your show that he had stopped by, but nada. And I guess the biggest disappointment I have is, yes, I understand he's busy, but he said he'd make it a point to stop by. And if something came up, I would appreciate, you know, just a thing saying he couldn't do it. So, which would have been fine. But anyway,
John, you're awesome, man. You're awesome. And we missed you. Everybody was asking about you. You are sorely missed. We needed a doctor in case something happened to Pat. You know, he tripped on his cigar or something, lit himself up. Like, we needed a doctor in the house just in case.
Well, I'd love to have been there practicing.
Oh, man. It was fun. I can't believe you did all that.
Well,
that's amazing.
You got a lot of people that are much more into this the football stuff and analyzing. And I really can't believe how much so many of these listeners, viewers know about this. But anyway, I've got a question for you. How many uncles do you have?
I got three uncles. So my dad's the youngest of four brothers. I got three uncles on that side.
Nobody on your mother's side?
I have one on her side.
Are they all married?
Half and half.
All right. Well, the reason I ask is you keep talking about new aunts, and I figured that, you know, you must have some uncles that aren't married yet if you're looking to get a new aunt here.
That's a bad one, man. That's tough. That's tough on a Wednesday morning at 9:12 a.m. That's a tough one. We got to give you the hook. Somebody's pulling you off stage. Oh, that's funny.
Well,
I like that.
If my daughters were around, they would have pulled me off by now. So.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, my last thing is, I told you I was going to write an anthem for the for Always Irish. I've got it done. The music is set. I have to have my two vocalists approve everything, but we're going to be there for that Miami of Ohio game and give it a premiere, unless something happens in between.
Oh, so. that sounds awesome, man. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
And I'll tell you what, I'm gonna turn you over to the rest of it, because I'm sure there's some people that got some real comments on football. So you have a great show, and I'll watch the last part of the hour on my big tube.
Thank you. I appreciate you very much. But I do want you to call back maybe next week and talk about the football part. Okay? I do want to have that talk with you. Doesn't have to be today.
I do have some notes on that, so I'll call you next Wednesday.
Beautiful. Thank you, man. Take care. Gosh,
okay,
you're a riot.
You take care. Love you.
See ya. Love you. Oh, that guy. He's just got a different brain, man. He's just got a different brain. I was wondering where he was going with the uncles and the nuance. That's creative. Always Irish Senior, what's going on? I got a big thank you to Always Irish Senior. My family in the immediate circle of like loyal people here from the beginning that I couldn't do those tailgates without them. They make sure everything's set up so that I can just be with the people, and everybody has something they're doing to set up this or to do that and do this and do that. It's just a beautiful thing. So thank you to my parents, my family, Pat, my brother, everybody, Rudy, Adam, Craig, just million people helping set up. Ryan Elliott with the $10 holler. I appreciate that very much. Thank you very much. Good morning, Andrew. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, John? How's it going, man?
It's going very well, man. I got to tell you, Andrew, even with all the anxiety, you know, I carry around with me, it was just good to get back to campus, man. It's just, it makes your soul feel good just after you haven't been there a while to get back. So we had a good weekend, man.
Nice. Yeah. I wish I could have been there. And it honestly looked like, I watched it on Peacock, and I thought that was one of the more entertaining blue and gold games I've seen. So, I don't know. I hopefully you felt the same way watching from the stadium.
Yeah, I would. I would be interested in hearing a couple of your big takeaways from the day overall, of where you think we sit, and then we can also address the other item of the day.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I want to. My thought was I agree with a lot of the sentiment from you, and then a lot of the other people who cover Notre Dame football, which is, I do see a lot of good young talent. You know, I was pleasantly surprised at wide receiver. I think that guy, KK Smith, and what's his name? The freshman who came in from North Carolina.
Gilbert.
Yeah. I mean, they look like legit guys who can contribute right away. And I think, and then obviously Mitchell had that long touchdown, but it was against a true freshman. But I think that the good news is, they've got reinforcements this year. I mean, I don't know if any of those guys are truly game-changing wide receivers, but last year, like against Louisville, remember how horrendous our depth was? I mean, we literally, our game plan was to throw to Rico Flores like the whole game, and we got lucky that Jordan Faison, you know, turned out to be kind of good. So I just think that's good. I mean, because we didn't even have Faison. We didn't have Thomas. We don't have Bo Collins from Clemson. So I think our wide receiver room is starting to get it together a little bit. So I thought that was a big thing. I thought the defensive talent is ridiculous. I mean, CJ Carr, and I want to talk about the quarterbacks real quick, but CJ Carr's first read was awesome, and KBA made an unbelievable play, and it made me think, like, our linebacker depth is ridiculous on this team.
Yeah.
So then I thought all three quarterbacks, I mean, I wanted to kind of come on and give Goolsby some guff about Minshew, because I personally think Minshew's sort of the odd man out. But I thought Minshew showed some real guts, you know, rallying back after throwing an interception. I do think Minshew, I guess I was surprised that he runs, because I asked like several times to like people like Mike Singer and other Notre Dame people, like, can Minshew run? And they all said no. And then he looked like he could run. So I would say, though, that if he's going to do that, he should put on some more muscle, because he's not like a Lamar Jackson or something like that. He's sort of a downhill type runner. So he needs to be bigger. He's going to take a bunch of shots. I thought Angeli rallied back, because I thought he was, you know, potentially choke after the first drive. He didn't. He rallied back. And then I think DJ Carr proved that on three's ratings of him were totally ridiculous. He's a blue chip prospect, probably one of the best blue chip quarterbacks we've had. I don't know, maybe since Jimmy Clausen.
So I think talk me through that. So you're looking at that in the blue and gold game. Is it just kind of the poise he has, the comfort being so young, navigating the offense? And then Goolsby gave me a hard time about this last night when we were recording. I can't define scientifically why I feel like it just looks different and smoother when he releases the football, but it just does. I don't have an equation for it. It just comes off as really smooth and silky to me, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, I'm going to actually disagree with you on that. I'm not saying he doesn't have a good arm or something like that. And he does throw a tight spiral. I think the most impressive thing about Carr was accuracy. Like, I mean, how many times have we seen a young Notre Dame quarterback try to throw like a 10-yard out and they spike the ball? You know, like this dude, he can put it there. So that's number one. And number two, it's his decision-making. You can see him going through his progression. I mean, what high school senior playing in a spring game knows how to go through their progression? Like, this guy's totally beyond his years. The one disagreement that I'd have is, I don't know about you, and maybe it was the pass rush and he's just young, but I counted a bunch of times where he threw off his back foot. And I'll just say that, like, you can get away with that when walk-ons are covering people, but I just think you got to be aware of that a little bit, because if you throw off your back foot and you don't have...
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
That's mustard on the throw. It's going to get picked off. So I would just say that I think it was. I'm more excited about his decision-making and that he could just make basic throws, you know, because it was so frustrating watching Buckner, who could, throw it down the middle pretty well. And then you got like these wide open first downs where all you have to do is throw like a, 7-yard out, and he couldn't do it. So it's, it's like, nice to see that we have a legit quarterback, you know?
Yeah, it's really going to be interesting to sort out. Do you think they all stay and none of them hit the portal, or like, what's our situation with that in your opinion right now?
Well, I don't, honestly, I have no idea. But I will say that Driscoll tried to say that, don't be surprised about some of the names that hit the portal. So I don't know if that was a hint that one of the quarterbacks is going to hit the portal. They've got two issues right now. They've got to lose guys in order to get the scholarship count down. But in my opinion, and this sort of leads to what the other topic we're going to talk about, is this is year three for Freeman. You can't hold anything back this year. You've got to, it is truly playoffs or bust. And so I think there are holes on this roster that that the transfer portal needs to be addressed. So like, they need guys to leave, enough guys to leave so that they can bring in transfer portal guys. That's my opinion. So I don't know. Maybe Angeli does leave, because I was really thinking about it. Why do you need Steve Angeli? It looks like you can pretty much get the same production out of the two young guys. I mean, it's no offense to Steve Angeli. I was really complimentary of him. And in fact, I actually think his propensity to check down is sort of a good thing when you got Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price in the backfield.
I get guys, what you mean.
That might be the best play.
Yeah,
in the playbook,
I get what you mean. Instead of trying to like force something and do something, like get it to that guy and then let him do something. Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, earlier in the chat, we were talking about Reggie Bush. I'm not saying Jeremiah Love's Reggie Bush, but like oftentimes Reggie Bush would just catch a swing pass and would be gone for a touchdown. Like, I think there is some of that in both Price and Love. So, but I would just say that, like, I think you can kind of teach Carr and Minshew to hit a check down too. So, like, why do we need Angeli? Let him go.
Is the answer because he was already here? Like, is it like that's the answer I come up with, because he's already here, he's been around the program, and he has more experience around the program than the younger guys. Like, isn't that the answer? He's an operator. And
well, I just think like, you know, I think that in the new college football landscape, it's like pro sports now. And sometimes like in pro sports, there are some guys who could probably help your team and they're really, really nice guys, but they just don't fit on the roster. And so I think Freeman's going to have to make some tough decisions. Like, I don't think you need him.
Yeah. Man, that's tough. That's really tough. We love you. Thanks for all you've done. You're a solid dude. Like, you're doing your role and we don't need you anymore. And you know what, man? That's business. Like, it's not personal, but that's sometimes the way this needs to go.
You don't think Freeman said that to Drew Pine too? I mean, I think Angeli's better than Pine, but I think he said that to Drew Pine after the USC game.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, I really appreciate all the work, but you're not even our backup quarterback.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, It's listen, this is turning into a good discussion to have and a good problem to have for once. So like, it's fine. Like, I would rather we argue about which quarterback we like more than saying we don't like any at all, which is where I've been a few years in this Notre Dame stuff. And then anything else on the game? Hey, listen, that defense is going to be good, Andrew. It's just a matter of how good they're going to be. I think they're going to be good. They're going to be really tough.
I think they're gonna be really good if they stay healthy. That's what I worry about. That's why I'm like, they need to go to the portal. They lost. I don't even know why that dude, that the Micah Bell, like, goes to the portal. I don't understand why he did that. There must be something more to the story, because he was going to get a lot of playing time.
And he's fast.
Just because of how thin they
he's
were.
He's fast.
Yeah,
he is really speedy. He's fast. So I don't know. I don't have an answer, but
they might need to get
fast.
Two guys. They might need to get two guys in the portal, because what I worry about is Morrison is hopefully his shoulder heals well. I was actually happy that they interviewed him on the sideline during the spring game. I don't know if you saw that, but like, he seems like he's got the right attitude. You know, he's not some prima donna like cornerback that you'd be used to. So I think he'll actually work his butt off to get back. I just worry that if he gets hurt halfway through the year and he's still projected as a first or second day guy, that he might, you know, why would he rush to get back, you know, and hurt his draft stock, similar to what Cam Hart did. So I just think that, you know, I just think you need more depth at DB, you know, and then I worry about up front too. I'm sorry. Everybody says, oh, we're really happy about, Trey, you know, we're really happy about the defensive tackle play.
Listen, Andrew,
I want another defensive tackle. Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. You know, Mills and Howard, we already knew, like, you were banking on that, but I left spring feeling more comfort rather than less after seeing Traore and Anya and Oben look better than I thought. Like, those guys, I feel better post spring than I did leading up to Blue and Gold with that. Now, maybe that's just me wanting to feel better about something over the summer. I don't know, but I feel better about it than I did before.
I do too. I mean, I think that's a fair thing. The linebackers are totally loaded too. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So loaded that, like, I'm not even sure if there is a position for Snead on the team. Like, do you even need Jalen Snead? You got KVA and Osbury, who could easily do whatever you ask me to do.
There is a lot of talent there. And it's not a surprise, because we've all been talking about the linebackers they keep getting. And like, here they all are, and they're all ready to play, and it's their time, and there's a bunch of good ones. So do you just fit them in different packages depending on their skill sets and what's going on to be able to let them all work? Like, I don't know. But I love that group.
I'm sure that's what they're saying, but it's just like, it's kind of like that, the Mike Tyson thing. Once you get punched in the mouth, you know, the plans change. So it's like, cause they tried doing that year one, really rotating like crazy. And then, year two, obviously Golden, he didn't do much rotating at all. So I just think like, a guy like KVA needs to be playing. Cause if he's just sitting the bench playing special teams, you don't think USC is going to back channel to his family who lives in LA and say, hey, this guy would be our starting linebacker right now. And oh, by the way, here's $800,000 in NIL. Like,
yeah.
So that guy needs to be on the field. Like, and so I think he's got a bit of a dilemma. And I might even say that Kaiser might be expendable, even though he's got a lot of experience and he's a good player. I just think they got so many good linebackers. So,
yeah. It's, man, there's a lot to think about between now and August. And then, all right, Andrew, CFP or bust? My question simply was, I need to know what the bust means. It's easy to say, but my question is, if you say CFP or bust for Freeman and Notre Dame, I want to know what the actual consequences of the bust are. Andrew, I don't think they're firing him. If they go 9-3 and miss the playoff, I don't think they're firing him. And I don't even think he's probably on the hot seat. I think you run out the 6 years and then reevaluate it then. That's all I think happens. And then we're all just mad and everybody gives me a hard time because Freeman's my guy. And then, like, I just think everybody gets upset, but nothing major is going to come of it. Am I wrong?
Well, I think you could be right in terms of how it all plays out, but I guess, and I hate coming at you, John, but I think it will be fun for fun for the show, but you're usually the guy who sets the bus. I mean, like when I first started watching you, it was, you know, probably 2019. Certainly during the pandemic year of 2020, I was watching you, you know, fairly religiously, and you were just totally dissatisfied with Brian Kelly, even during a year when they went undefeated in the regular season. Because you felt like, hey, this is not truly a national championship level team. Yet, like, Freeman is supposedly flipping the script, bringing in all these good players. He, like, Notre Dame finally opened up the purse strings and brought in all the coaches he could have ever wanted. The collective have opened the purse strings and 2 years in a row have gotten arguably the best quarterback off the portal. And then I have to think NIL played some role in the wide receivers they landed. And we're still making excuses for Freeman if he doesn't even make even a 4-team playoff. This is a 12-team playoff. And if he doesn't make the playoffs a year after your hated rival, Michigan, the team that you hate, hate Michigan more than USC. And like, how are you going to give Freeman a pass? Like, I think you should be leading the charge of that it's a bust.
It is a bust, which means we're all going to be upset and angry, and it's not good enough.
I just think you should doing videos on, hey, Freeman, I've been defending you for the first 2 years. You better not let me down. And if you do, I'm going to be leading the charge of saying that maybe you're not the right guy. That's how my feeling should be. Like, you have stuck your neck out for this guy. And you said, hey, give him a chance to build. He's in year three now. He's gotten everything he's wanted. I mean, what haven't they given Freeman? And he's got a schedule. Come on, man. Look at this schedule. And for all the people in the chat, do not try to say Louisville is some tough game. Go read an article about Louisville football right now. They're in disarray. Their NIL is falling apart. Their best player, the running back, who's their best player, just left. That is not a hard game. They have three tough games, and I'm only saying A&M is a tough game because it's a road game. Because if they played A&M at home, that should be an automatic win. So they've really got two really hard games. Florida State, because I don't know what Florida State's going to do. They've gotten some really good portal guys. And then you never can say that at USC is a gimme, you know, especially with Lincoln Riley. So you're going to win. He's got to go 2-1. He basically has to go 2-1 in those three hard games, and he makes the playoff. And if he doesn't do that, he sucks. And I'm just going to say that. He sucks if he can't go 2-1 in those games.
How do you really feel?
tell me where I'm wrong.
I guess.
Tell me where I'm wrong. What's the difference between him and James Franklin if he can't go 2-1 in those games?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll give you that one because you know me. I always complain about James Franklin because he just never wins the big one, beats who he has more talent than, and then goes 10-2 pretty much every year. I think
he's not even getting like a sneaky tough game. Like, yeah, people are trying to circle Georgia Tech. It's like Georgia Tech has been down and talk about a program that has not embraced the modern era of the transfer portal and NIL. Yeah. It's like they're like delusional, like Stanford is. You know, they do have a good head coach, I will say, but that's not a sneaky game. It's not like playing at NC State on the road. That was a much tougher game. It's like the rest of the schedule is a joke. So he really it's almost as if Michigan's was slightly easier last year, but I mean, come on. I mean, this is set up to go to the playoff.
Yeah, and you're right.
The bus is this. You lose at Texas A&M first game. I think the fan base starts to get. I think you start to hear murmurs in the fan base. Like, what is going on here?
I'm not gonna. On this show. This is going to be a rough call-in week if that happens. I'm praying it doesn't. I'm not looking forward to it.
And then he drops. And then you drop two more games in a year. You're not telling me that that Freeman is on a hot seat going. Yeah.
All right, couple things. One is, I'm not being sarcastic. I really don't know where the reality of the next thing I'm going to say falls. I struggle with it in my own brain, Andrew. I'm not being sarcastic. It's a genuine question I struggle with in my brain. I struggle with this is Notre Dame. We have standards here. We haven't held up to them for 25, 30 years, whatever. You know, there's a standard in Notre Dame and what we've been doing isn't good enough. All of that. I struggle balancing that, which is what we all want to think of Notre Dame, and I do too, with the realities of a guy who's starting out as head coach and is going to make some mistakes, because everybody does when they're young in their first big job. Andrew, I struggle with that. I struggle figuring out where that line is between this is Notre Dame and we have standards and it's got to either be good enough or it isn't, versus the reality of nobody in year one or two of their career is as polished or good at it as they should be after year 30. I struggle to try and figure out where my brain should be on that. Do I make sense that with that battle?
Yeah, I mean, I think because you're a nice guy, John, but I think you, this isn't, there's a saying I really like. It's not show friends, it's show business. And this is Notre Dame football. I don't care how nice Marcus Freeman is and how good looking he is. I think he's got a little bit of a Hartman effect.
All right. Now wait. Okay. All right. But then I get blamed for this double standard, but then I turn it around on the people saying that. And I go, the other guy didn't get major results. And he wasn't a nice guy and treated people right. And didn't do any of that. And he didn't win anything. So if we're going to go there,
you keep saying that Kelly didn't get results, but I mean, I
Camping World Bowl, Camping World Bowl trophy, Andrew. Well, that's the biggest one going in the Goog. That's the biggest one after 11 years going in the Goog is the Camping World Bowl. And we gave the guy over a decade.
You know that's not true. I know you're being a little facetious.
I am. I mean, what's the other trophy? What other trophy am I proud of that's in there because Kelly was there? The Pinstripe Bowl?
Because he doesn't have a trophy. I would agree. I would agree. No trophy, but three undefeated regular seasons. I think if Marcus Freeman had a undefeated regular season and got blown out in the playoffs, you guys would be throwing a parade for him.
If what now? Run that by me again.
Brian Kelly had, I believe, three undefeated regular seasons that led to playoff berths. One was against Alabama and then two playoff berths.
Does it not matter what happens?
Marcus Freeman...
But you can't get blown out. You can't get. You undo all the 12-0 when you go into the playoff with everyone in America watching and pee down your leg and show that you're not able to compete at all. It ruins all the vibes of the 12-0. They're still on the record, but it kills all the perception and all the momentum and all the good feelings. All came crashing down every time he built you up just enough to get that little thread of hope. And then you get in that moment and you realize you are 90 miles away, not even close. And that cycle of insanity and doing that over and over again is why my hair is falling out, Andrew.
I completely agree with you. I think the first time me and you ever communicated, it was after the Alabama, it was so lame that Notre Dame was trying to run the clock out in the second half so that they could say they didn't lose by more than 30 points to Alabama. I totally agree with you.
That's where what I'm, they did. They totally did that.
Where I'm coming at you guys, and not even, I don't know, John, you can let yourself be known about what your feeling is, but I think a lot of the Freeman lovers, if he had an undefeated regular season and got whipped in the playoffs, I think most people would say, hey, that's progress. You know, he's showing some real progress here. They would not hold him to the same accountability that Freeman Kelly got held to, which was people were totally disappointed after they got their butts kicked by a real team. So I just would say hold Freeman to the same standard. I don't give a crap about how lack of experience he is. Then don't hire a coach who doesn't have head coaching experience. I mean, how many times does Notre Dame have to do that to figure out that it's bad? We did it before Lou Holtz, the high school coach who we hired, he sucked. Then after Lou Holtz, we do it with Bob Davies. Tyrone Willingham barely had a head coaching resume, but had one good year at Stanford. We give him the job. Then we hire Charlie Weiss, no head coaching experience. Then we finally do the right thing and hire a coach with head coaching experience, and he flips the program around, doesn't get us to where we need to be, but definitely major improvement. And then what do? We go out and hire another coach without head coaching experience. It's just like, it's crazy. And then what I will say is Freeman should feel heat, because there are coaches that are coaching at lesser programs than he is at, who would take this roster right now and go 11-1 and 12-0. And I threw out a name. I think Lance Leipold at Kansas is just like Kalen DeBoer. He's a guy who wasn't like Freeman. He was not born on third base the way Marcus Freeman was, a guy who's less than 40 years old and already has the Notre Dame head coaching job. Lance Leipold had to work his way up through like Division II. Then he had to go to like 1AA. Then he had to go to a MAC. And now he's coaching lowly Kansas, and he's getting really good seasons out of them. If he had Notre Dame's opportunity with this roster, I think he would do some great things. So I think we as a fan base should apply pressure. It's like, hey, if Freeman comes through for us, you support him. You give him that contract extension. You see the talent on the field. But if he comes up short again for a third season in a row, we should be pissed off, especially knowing that Michigan just won a national championship and they're not bringing in blue chippers. They're doing it the way that we thought wasn't possible. We thought you had to bring in all five stars to win championships under the Saban era. Jim Harbaugh just proved good coaching and development can win a national championship too. So we need to reevaluate stuff if Freeman comes up short again.
Listen, you're right. I'm going to be mad. I don't understand why people are acting like I'm not going to be upset. I'm going to be devastated. I'm going to be hurt. I'm going to be mad. But here's where I'm at with it. When you're in that situation or the results aren't what you wanted, or you're kind of treading water a little bit and it's making people nervous, that's when the athletic department and the AD starts looking at all the other stuff. And nobody likes hearing this, Andrew. All the other stuff, the relationships, how things are going, the relationship with the donors, just the vibes, how it, all of that off the field stuff kind of matters at that level a little bit. And in that regard, everybody loves what Marcus is doing. So that, no, you don't have to agree with that. People shouldn't think that's how it should be, that if you're a nice guy, you get an extra year of leeway. Nobody likes that. I'm just telling you that's how this is going to go.
Well, I
nobody I has to right, like it, but I'm just but, telling you that's how it's going to go.
The Trump card is? But you know what the Trump card is on all that stuff? Is the fan base reaction. You know, if the fans aren't behind you, and then like the AD starts getting calls from people, and then donors start getting pissed because it's not fun going to games. Then that they can turn on a dime. And then the other thing that people never think about, because it's Notre Dame, is you have a pretty unsuccessful season, and Marcus Freeman's attitude kind of changes in the locker room, starts getting really down on players. You don't think that there could be an exodus in the portal after a disappointing season? We've seen it a lot with different teams. And if because of how stupid their admission standards are, you can't replace. Like if they lost 20, I don't know. I was just talking about Louisville. They've lost a ton of players, or Colorado just lost 20 dudes off their team. Can Notre Dame replace 20 guys in the transfer portal? I don't think they can. Yeah. So things can change really, really quickly. So I would just mention that. That's great that he can glad hand and stuff, but at a certain point, people want to at least get back to where Brian Kelly had it with that. So
yeah, man. Here's what I think. I think the practical consequence if you missed the playoff would be real heat from other parts of the media and whatever, like real heat leading in the next year, no extension, everybody's on edge. And even the pro Freeman people tone it down a little bit with a little anxiety. There's no extension. And then we go from there. That's what I think the practical fallout for falling short would be. I don't think it'd be more than that, but it isn't going to be nothing. People are going to be wound a little tight. Even the ones that are Freeman supporters like me, that's the reality I think you're facing. No extension, but it isn't going to be a firing. They're going to give them that 6 years because they like the way everything else is going on.
Yeah, well, you know, and I'm looking at the chat. Like people say I'm doom and gloom. When is having standards doom and gloom? I'm saying that I complimented Freeman, Andrew, on bringing in talent. It's like, dude, have some standards, Notre Dame fan. Like, I want to win championships. I don't know about you guys.
That's what I was saying for 20 years when Kelly was not winning anything. I said that, and I was told he's the biggest winner since Lou, and it doesn't matter that we don't get over the hump, and you should shut up and be grateful, and at least it's not Weiss, and at least it's not Davey, and you should be happy with it. So that's where my frustration comes. Because when I was the standard guy, everybody told me I was an ungrateful loser.
Well, I would just end on this. I also, some of the Freeman's biggest supporters are trying to rewrite history on 2022 and 2023. I think, like, they're trying to make the idea that he inherited an empty cupboard from Kelly. And I think that's just not true. I mean, I think that the quarterback room was an issue and the wide receiver room was an issue. I think a lot of the other parts were there. And Marcus Freeman made a big mistake letting Tommy Rees convince him that Buckner was guy first year. That screwed up his first season. And then last year, what was he doing with the wide receiver room? Like, what was he doing? He brought in a broken down wide receiver from Virginia Tech, and I think that cost him two games. So
yeah.
So I think that those people need to take some accountability that, you know, Freeman, I think this year he's done a lot to address some of the holes. I think what he has to do if he really wants to make a playoff, in my opinion, you need to be back channeling the top group of five offensive tackle and offering that dude a lot of money to come in. Because they may have starters at offensive tackle with Jagasaw and probably Baker. But I guess you've only got one other tackle who can maybe play, Wagner. You've got to hope Gerby Lambert is somebody. But that's super thin. I would be back channeling an offensive, similar to what Ohio State did with San Diego State's tackle last year. Yeah. And that guy ended up, I don't know if that guy was any good, but he certainly ended up starting for them. So I think don't hold anything back, Freeman. This is your year. You make the playoff, you get an extension, and everybody starts feeling good about you. If you don't, though, then you should go in on the hot seat for 2025.
Man, listen, I understand where you're coming from, man. And it's a big year, and you just got to make that field so we can avoid this problem. Andrew, I thank you very much. Appreciate the call today, man. Anything on the way out?
No, man, I really appreciate the time. And hey, you know, I love you. And I think everybody should participate in Patreon because
thank you.
You have a lot of hot button videos on there. So awesome, man.
You know what, Andrew? There's more coming this week. There's some interesting stuff coming that came out of this last weekend. So I think people are going to like it. Okay.
Sweet.
Have a good one.
Tell Goldsby to take a call once in a while. That would be fun too. So,
I'll see if he's up for it. Thanks, Andrew. Take care.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Somebody's saying I'm calling BS, John. That never happened. You guys, I'm telling you, my comments in the YouTube videos and my emails were toxic AF, bro. When I would rip, dude, people were doing YouTube videos going at me saying, this guy, who does he think he is having these standards? Kelly's the best weekend we've had and you're not happy. This is the one I got more than any other. If you don't like it, then find another team. That's the one I got, which is so offensive. Look at this Texas A&M guy, Rudy Hyde's popping in here. You know what, Texas A&M guy, don't you have to put on your white overalls and tight shorts and go try out for the male cheer squad? It's quarter to 10. You better get changed into your tights and your overalls. You got to do some coordinated cheers. Freaking weird, man. Weird. You should have seen the toxicity surrounding me. John, you're toxic. Get away from the program. If it isn't good enough, find another team. Unbelievable. I can already see him over there. He's in the mirror trying on his overalls, making sure they're all nice and tight. I don't understand that the A&M male cheerleader white overall thing is creepy, bro. That is creepy. Man, Nick Dean, good to see you. Good to see you, Nick Dean. And it was great to see you and the wife. Lovely lady. She is the sweetest person. 937, what's going on? If it'll load. There we go. What's going on?
Hello, John. How's it going? It's your favorite Buckeye fan. Long time.
You know what, man? People have been asking about you. We were going to send out a search unit, make sure you were still alive. People have been asking, man. And also, keep in mind, though, I only got a few minutes. I got to get on a Zoom call for some business that came out of Blue and Gold weekend. So I only got a few minutes left, man. What's on your mind?
Okay, real quick. I just wanted to talk a little bit about I saw that Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman back. And so a lot of people are thinking, well, Terrell Pryor and his group should get all his wins back if that's the case. So,
yeah.
Also, go ahead.
Here's my thought on that. I physically witnessed Reggie Bush ruin my life in person. It doesn't matter whether they took it from him or not. I saw him run all over us and earn it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it happened and I saw it and it was real and it made my life miserable. He's always been the Heisman winner to me, whether he has the little trophy or not, because I saw it happen and I know it was real, baby.
One, I agree with that. I think that was kind of foolish for them to take it away. So, I just wanted to kind of comment about spring. And if you had any questions about the Buckeye spring, I kind of feel like the teams are really similar. It sounds like a right tackle position is kind of the question on Notre Dame's team. That's similar to Ohio State. To make a comment to Andrew, he was talking about the left tackle that we got from San Diego State. He ended up being he's a pretty decent player. I think he's going to be he's with his second year with the team. I think he's going to be one of our better offensive linemen. So I know he was kind of a higher 4-star prospect that San Diego State somehow got. So that's kind of interesting. But did you have any questions for me? I know you like to kind of to ask some questions or thoughts.
Here's the question is, I need Michigan to lose a lot of games this year. That's the question, man. I just need them to lose a lot of games this year. You guys paid all that money. You're going to make the playoff and then it's title or bust. I'm talking about CFP or bust for Notre Dame. Is it title or bust for you guys? And then what does the bust mean? Are we having the same discussion I just had again?
I don't know if it's title or bust because there's so many things for where the ball could bounce in a funny way. I definitely think you got to be in the final four or bust for our team. The thing about Michigan, I think they're going to have a really good defense this year, but I think their offense is going to be pretty poor. So
yeah,
I think they're going to be an Iowa style team. And with that schedule, I don't know. I think Ohio State, you know, everybody gets on Ryan Day, but he's been with the team for like what, 6 or 7 years now.
Yeah.
And he's only had Michigan once at home. Yeah. You believe that? I mean,
Going to be interesting. And also, I'm really interested just in the new Big Ten and what that's going to look like with the new teams and the format, you know, and no divisions. Like, I'm really interested in seeing how it's going to play out.
Yeah, I remember Urban Meyer's first year where they were eligible to play at the end of the season. They were in it all the way till the end, and they won like 25 straight games, and they played Michigan. It was a pretty close game. It was a really close game. It went to overtime, and we picked the ball off for when they decided to go for two, and we won the game. And it's kind of interesting because the next week we ended up playing Michigan State, and our team was just completely gassed. So we haven't played in a Big Ten championship game, and now it's not going to be a Michigan State.
Right.
It's going to be a
probably
an Oregon a team that's going to be a lot better.
Yeah, you're not going to get the Northwestern 4 loss coming out of that side. Yeah, it's just not going to happen. So I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. And I hate to cut you off, but I got to hang up on the live stream and go set up for my Zoom and do some Always Irish business. Maybe I should just stay live and then maybe I'll stay live and all you guys can comment on my negotiating skills or whatever I'm talking about. Hey, thanks, man. Hey, it's good to know you're alive, man. We've been wondering about you this spring. Give me a call back later on when we have more time, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Take care. People really did ask if he's still alive because they haven't heard him lately. Mark, block that number real quick. $5 olive for the V1 Rotate. You and Andrew need to join forces for a call-in show. He's a good speaker. He's a perfect balance to you. Love listening to you guys go at it. Yeah, he's a clear speaker. That makes for good radio, I've learned. $5 holler. YouTube has not been sending me notifications when the live starts, even though I have them turned on. I don't know what's going on with that. The $20 holler from Ryan Elliott. Thank you very much. Give me a break. I'm the CFP or bust. Freeman's the right guy. Look at the team right now. They look totally different than any year under Kelly. We finally have athletes. We rarely had guys like this under Kelly. And another a $10 holler from Ryan. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. And my guy, Tony, the Homer TD, $5 holler. Appreciate him as well. All right, guys. I don't like this, man. This was going to get juicy. We were going to keep going at it. I'm going to hop on this Zoom. And then I will definitely be back. We'll have a video tomorrow. I'll be back Friday. And then I'm probably going to want to do a Saturday night show. I'll probably want to do a Saturday night show to catch some blue and gold reactions from people that can't make the morning show. So I hate doing this. I'm usually good for an hour and a half, 2 hours, business calls. So $5 holler from Andrew. Thanks for the time. Hey, thanks for giving me a call, man. That's what we're here for. Commander Luke ducked my call. It figures Luke, it ain't about you, man. I don't know how to tell you. Thinking I'm like going out of my way to personally insult you. I'm not, man. I have a list of calls and I have to go. Sorry. Oh, all right, you guys. Thank you for everybody. But yeah, we might dial it up Saturday night because a lot of people aren't available in the morning, and that'd be a way for them to get their blue and gold, thoughts out. So sorry, you guys. I'll put out something tonight. We'll have a video tomorrow. Thanks for being here. Sorry I got to cut you short. Have a good day.